When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Hey everyone, Kevin from Rare Drop here, asking you to head over to our Patreon and check it out. It's patreon.com/raredrop. Perfect place to engage with Rare Drop and enjoy the best community content we have to offer. Our 6 membership subscription levels offer exclusive content, behind-the-scenes moments, merch discounts, live Q&As, and so much more. Check us out at patreon.com/raredrop, and myself and the entire team are excited to see you there.
Join Professor Broman and his weekly guests Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern for the intersection of business and streaming on the Broman Podcast. Whether talking about different industries, creative inspiration, or how they made their way into the streaming space, they're sure to entertain, educate, and excite with their content and conversations. Tune in live at twitch.tv/raredrop or fb.gg/raredropco Thursdays at 7 p.m.
Welcome to episode 43 of Star Wars and Scotch. I'm your host, Kevin, joined by Tim, who is the other host.
Who's also
of
the other host, Kevin?
Tim.
Yes.
You are the other host.
Yes, me.
Yes, yes. We don't have a ton to talk about today. There's a little bit of news. Why was it awkward?
Can we redo that?
Yeah, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 43 of Star Wars and Scotch. That's Tim over there. he's the host, and I'm the other host.
He's the other host.
Was that better? Did you enjoy that more?
No, it was all. Yeah, that's fine. We're both hosts of the show. Hey,
whatever makes you happy, Tim. but welcome everyone. Episode 43 of Star Wars and Scotch. We don't have a ton to talk about today. We have a little bit of news, and Bad Batch episode 3 was great.
There was
some cool stuff from a lore perspective, but not a lot of meat on the bone from like a discussion point. So we will cover it all. But first and foremost, we want to remind you to go over to kingscoastcoffee.com and drink the coffee.
Okay. It's not just drink the coffee. We might have something really cool coming out soon, Kevin, that we
maybe. I'm drinking the Bali one right now.
We teased the other one, right?
Which one?
Oh, it's not live. I can say it. Didn't we tease the Kona one? I saw it on the Instagram.
Did he? I haven't seen it on the Instagram.
Oh, no.
Do you want Max to bleep that part?
Sure. I could have sworn I saw it on Instagram. Hold on. I want to see.
You might have. Double check.
Hold on. Because like Kona's a big deal.
We're waiting.
No, it's right here.
Okay.
Yeah, the luau, like the hooda 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 hooda.
Well, you've been teased.
Yeah, it's right there.
By Tim. Perfect. But KingsCoastCoffee.com, new stuff coming down the pipeline, and even though you can't get the Bali, I'm just going to repeat how good it is.
Bali's so good, but what if there was, I wish we had more of that. But yeah, we're going to have Kona, so if you want 100% Kona coffee from Hawaii,
Kona!
Check out KingsCoastCoffee.com.
All right, you want to hear the news this week? It's really light.
Yeah, hit me with it. I didn't get to see any of it.
All right, I'm going to repeat. This is old news that is popping up in the feeds again, so I'm just going to repeat this one. Okay. This one's from Pirates and Princesses. I've seen it elsewhere, too. But Kathleen Kennedy's tenure as the head of Lucasfilm may be coming to a close again.
Oh, my God. They're getting bored over there, huh?
Yeah, it's the usual, you know, people aren't agreeing with Kathleen and this, that, and the other, and Dave's going to take over and George himself, blah, 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 blah. Kevin Feige's already said no. He is not interested. He wants to stay with Marvel. He does not want to split his time. So blah, 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 blah. What if they put Tim and I in charge of it?
They should. I think they should.
I think we could do a good job. No?
What? No. Leading, like, doing the whole Star Wars thing?
Yeah, working with Dave.
Oh, yeah, because you and Dave are already so tight.
Not yet. Soon. All in good time, Tim. You forget, too, that a global pandemic happened and delayed my timeline a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah. Whatever, don't worry. Dude. We're still not allowed to fully meet new people yet, I don't think. I don't know. I read something this week. I sent it to you, Tim, that said, I think when the CDC saw people putting gasoline into old Burger King cups, they just decided to give up. And I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently the rumor of Kathleen Kennedy not hanging out for much longer is still floating around.
I think Star Wars fans just want her head at this point.
Well, I wouldn't say every Star Wars fan. I would say
a decent amount of them.
The Star Wars fans who don't like Star Wars are the ones that want her head.
Man, that feels like a lot of them.
Yeah, because I've never seen a fan base that hates the thing that they are the fan base of more than Star Wars.
They're very passionate haters. It's weird. Just love to hate this thing so much.
And then the other bit of news that popped up this week, that I've seen elsewhere, but this specifically comes from Walt Disney World News today, is rumor. That is the first word in the title. So rumor. Okay. We got that rumor.
All right. Rumor.
Daisy Ridley reportedly in talks to return as Rey in an upcoming Star Wars project.
Okay. So I saw, it was posted in my Facebook group page. It was one where Mandalorian season 3 would have a tie-in to Rey.
How?
Yeah, and that was my first question when I saw that. I was like, all right, time-wise,
I did see that
makes
somewhere.
No sense at all. Because I feel like people forget where we are with Mando. 5 years after Return of the Jedi, which would put it right around 20 years before episode 9.
Rey is 19 in The Force Awakens.
Yeah. So she's not even born yet.
Unless it, okay, here would be
the only tie-in would be his son, would be Palpatine's
right.
son.
Which means that what we said last week, which you and I were both not fans of, that the Palpatine Snoke clone situation could be in Mandalorian, which would lead to the son.
Yeah, but I truly feel like this show is about Mandalore, the Mandalorian, about Bo-Katan, about the Darksaber, like all of that stuff. That's what this show is about. This is not another way for the Skywalkers to take over. The Skywalker Palpatine saga. I just will not believe that. I'd be just like, it'd be so. I feel like that would do it such a disservice.
So, okay, hear me out. What if Palpatine's son has something to do with Mandalore, the Empire, the Darksaber, and the whole story?
Like his mom's from Mandalore?
No, not necessarily. I'm not going to speculate on what, because it's really outlandish.
Yeah.
But what if...
There's some just tie in there?
Yeah, what if he somehow they link the clone stuff back to him?
I just don't know if we would even catch it that it was him.
Or care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would I
don't even
think
he has a name.
No, I don't even. I just know it was his son.
I'm typing in Palpatine's son and unnamed Palpatine's son.
Yeah, so if he showed up, it would just be like, all right, good for you.
And we see him for what, 0.5 seconds?
Yeah, a couple frames. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. Yeah, so I saw that one. I was like, guys, this makes no freaking sense at all. I feel like people are just, they're just going for clickbaits at this point. They're just, the news is very dry right now.
It is. We had the Star Cruiser last week, which took up a ton of news. There, that's the best picture I can find of him.
Looks kind of cross-eyed in that picture.
Well, here's the full picture with the, this is what it was taken from for context. He is this. With both parents and Tiny Ray.
Yeah, I would not be able to pick his face out of a crowd.
No, not a chance. I would love it if, like, Ghost Emperor Palpatine was somehow in Mandalorian personally from a world-building perspective. But I have trouble with how he would end up in the whole story.
Yeah.
That bothers me, so... We'll see.
Okay. All right. Here's a little bit more some Star Wars news.
Go ahead.
This comes from GamesRadar.com. Amy Henning brings in Star Wars Project Ragtag co-writer for a new story-driven action-adventure game.
Okay. So we hear about all these games. We hear about all these movies. Like, now I'm ready to start seeing some trailers or something.
Okay. So
it's been two years.
Okay, so Todd Vaxvik, I'm working with Amy Henning on a core team of industry vets in an exciting action-adventure game. So this guy worked, so do you think that they're going to take everything that they were doing for their Star Wars project that they were working with at EA and just essentially just recreate it just without the Star Wars portion? Or do you think they'll have like hints and nods to anything Star Wars in that?
I have no idea.
Do you think it'll actually be a Star Wars game? Do you think she'll just essentially just copy-paste?
I hope so. Kind of.
Anyways, but that was interesting.
It is interesting. There's one more bit of news worth talking about. This is from InsideTheMagic.net. Brie Larson reportedly cast as Luke Skywalker's wife, Mara Jade.
Well, excuse me?
So Mara Jade is Luke's wife in Legends.
Yeah, I know, but like, where did... For what?
Why? It just says cast as Luke's wife. So if Mara Jade is indeed coming to Star Wars universe,
okay,
and she is going to be a character in between Mandalorian and The Force Awakens, that would lead me to believe, Tim, that Sebastian Stan will be playing young Luke Skywalker because there's no way Mark Hamill would, you know?
No, there's
it
no
just
way.
Doesn't make any sense. So if we're bringing Mara Jade in, that means they need a young Luke Skywalker, and Sebastian Stan is literally the only human alive, and he ironically already has a relationship with Disney. So
yeah, but he's all. How do you think he's too hot right now as the Winter Soldier? So like, would that be weird?
I mean, he's doing the Pam and Tommy Lee movie too. So
yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
you mean doing two Disney IPs at once?
Exactly.
No. Well, I guess it wasn't at once, but Samuel Jackson's in both.
Oh, that's not even close. Like they're like
Brie Larson would be in both.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that's done both at the same time.
I just wonder how that works.
Can't think of anyone else.
You have anyone to go to California?
There was what's in California?
Star Wars Celebration
2022.
26th through 29th.
August of next
May.
Year. They moved it?
They bumped it up. May 26th.
Oh, that means
May
they have
29th.
Announcements,
they
Tim.
They have announcements, Kevin. They have to meet certain dates.
We can't go that weekend. We can't go that weekend, though, Tim.
Kevin, what are you going to tell your good friend Dave?
2023. I'll see you in 2023. First of all, that's my anniversary. Second of all... that is 2 weeks before GCX.
Yeah, no.
So unfortunately, my promise to all of you will have to wait another year.
Yikes.
Can I just blame it on COVID like everyone else does?
It just means that gives Kevin one more year to work this whole Dave Filoni angle.
It's not my fault they moved it to May.
No. Well, yeah, there you go. Star Wars Celebration at the end of May. So that makes me feel like that they're going to be shooting for holiday 2022 for something.
But what?
But what? That is the question, Kevin.
New movie?
Well, they've already announced.
Do you think they would have
already announced their roadmap, right? So we already have.
Yeah, but that's what I was about to ask. Do you think they would keep a new movie or a new trilogy under wraps until an announcement?
They already showed the roadmap. I don't think that they would be hiding something. I mean, unless they did, it'd just be kind of silly to show everything and be like, but wait, there's more.
Why would that be silly?
Because I feel like they would have prefaced, you know, the whole like, hey guys, here's a roadmap, but wait, well, there's more and we'll tell you next year, you know, something.
They didn't do it with Rise of Skywalker. They just marched Ian McDiarmid out and went to play it again.
Play it again. Yeah, but we all knew it was coming.
Did we?
Yeah, we all knew it was coming. We just didn't know what it was going to be about.
We wish it was about something else.
Oh.
kind of. Some of it. Most of it.
I have been seeing more and more and more articles being written about Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, there's a ton.
A ton of them. It's like every time I go on Twitter, I will see two new news stories about Knights of the Republic.
People are like 100%. People are, and I think it was because Schreier said it, but people are like 100% on Aspyr as the dev making it.
Interesting.
Like that seems to be not even a rumor anymore. Like Aspyr's making it. That's from what I'm reading. So
I don't know.
I guess. Well, we'll see.
I hope it'll be
fun.
But
interesting that they moved it up to May. Maybe we'll sneak away for 2 days, Tim, and run.
I think
that's
a terrible idea, Kevin.
Why?
You'll be a nervous wreck.
No, I won't.
Okay.
Next year?
Next year.
Unlocked.
A physical event?
We'll be fine. That's what I'm good at. It's this year that is giving me anxiety.
Anxiety? Well, speaking of GCX, you should head on over to gcxevent.com and make sure to get your ticket and join us in the GCX space.
We'll be doing a live episode of Star Wars and the Scotch with some friends, and we'll announce who those friends are in the next week or two, I believe, once they're confirmed and the time slot is confirmed. So
sick. That'd be cool. So people can be like on the space station with their cool GCX avatars watching us.
Yeah,
sick.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
You can wear your space helmet or your space suit depending on which tier of a
or your cult
got.
Robes.
The spacesuits look awesome, by the way. They're so like Ripley and alien. It's I think they're awesome. They're so cool.
Love it.
We actually had a meeting about your cult robes today.
Oh no.
I was like, we need to make these cult robes happen. And then we were thinking about putting cult on the back with C-U-L-T with like periods between each letter. But then we were saying, well, for people that don't get the joke, that's creepy.
Yeah.
So it was a fun discussion. This is what my meetings are, Chad. I know you're like, wow, that sounds fun. No, it's stressful. Cool. And before we jump into Bad Batch, because that's how we're going to end the episode today, I'd like to thank some of the patrons who support this whole endeavor, patreon.com/raredrop. A bunch of the Rare Drop shows are going to be on main stage. Overplayed is going to be there. Comics, the new one with Matt and Frank, talking about all things comics, MCU, DC, whatever you want to talk about.
nerds.
Freaking nerds. But I love the show because I love Frank. I love the way Frank looks at comic books. He looks at it through a different lens than anyone I've ever met, and I feel like it's really original. But yeah,
or
just
does
to
he read
him
like a manga? Does he read him the other way around?
No, that's Paul.
Speaking of Paul, you can watch him over at
Studio Blank. New Nerd, Jack DeVille, Aether Man, Darkless, Jedi Chappie, Justin McMahon, Legendary Ladman, Matt LaRue, Neil Anderson, Paul Marzik, Petey Club, Philip Snyder, Respect, Stephen Purd, Wow Dad.
Wow Dad?
Thank you so much for supporting the show, and even the rest of you that do. Those are the that's the 25 and up club. So I'm just reading them out. So thank you so much for supporting us. We appreciate you. Let's talk about Bad Batch.
Yes, it's a good episode, Kevin.
So your first of all, right off the bat, your Death Trooper theory is 150% correct.
Call that
150. Like
this is it. This is the start of the Death Trooper program.
And it's so cool because they're not there yet.
Yeah.
But the armor is almost Death Trooper. It's not quite.
It's
it
esque.
Almost is.
Yes.
Yeah, but it has the green visors.
Mm-hmm. Blacked out.
Blacked out. Stormtrooper, Spec Ops.
Very Spec Ops.
I am very into the new narrative that the clones are super looked down upon by the general populace now.
Yeah, they're trash.
This is new. This is new. Like, we knew the clones were always thought of as kind of like
cannon fodder.
They're just clones.
Yeah.
Right. They're just clones. But now to see it firsthand and to experience it, for better lack of a better way of putting it, through the eyes of the clones.
Yeah.
Is very interesting.
Well, that has been one of the joys of Clone Wars. And I think I've said this before, but when you really do get to watch the clones throughout the entirety of Clone Wars and into Bad Batch, like how they've been treated. And like they do, there's like this roller coaster of like how they're treated. Like they're treated like cannon fodder. Then they start getting their own names, and then you really start to feel for them. And then you feel when you get to Order 66, you're angry. And then now you kind of almost like feel bad for me. I felt bad for Crosshair. I felt really bad for him. I was like, man, he's being just treated like absolute crap.
Till he started murdering everyone.
Oh my god.
All the Saul Guerrera's innocent civilians that he was trying to get off world.
Oh my gosh, that was so. It was very dark.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm going to murder you and murder you.
Well, he's just a good soldier. It was just like, even
the other Death Troopers or Death Troopers to be, because they're not quite there yet, were like, I don't think we're supposed to be doing this.
What I really like about this is that it's continuing to show the Empire's transition away from the cloning program. But I like Tarkin's idea of using these like specialized troops as the way to teach what are they referring to the recruits as? Forget the term.
Is there a term?
Yeah, they call them something specific. We don't have Chad here to answer the question, but I'm sure someone will tell me. Anyways, like this transition is really really interesting. And now we've got the Kamino cloners that are trying to come up with a way. What's that?
The War Mantle is one of the projects mentioned in Rogue One while Jyn Erso is scanning Imperial records for the planet for Project Stardust. Now we know the War Mantle is the effort to replace clones with human soldiers. Since the clones have long been replaced by the time of the original trilogy, we can assume Project War Mantle was a big success.
It's so cool.
And the fact that it was in Rogue One, which came out how many years
ago? Well, there's two. So there's two. There's another one there's another file in that scene that they use in Rebels. The Star Destroyer that has the ability to rip a ship out of hyperspace. I forgot what that program is called, but she finds it.
It's in one of the books too.
It's in one of the books as well, but it's a Star Destroyer that's able to like just rip ships out of, and it's in Rebels. It's one of Thrawn's ships that he uses at one point. But this is just really cool. They're able to tie the movie into the shows and vice versa, but I'm really interested to see what the Kaminoan cloners are going to do with the leader, the president, was like, we have to find a way to make ourselves valuable to this empire. So I wonder what they're going to do next to try to make them
Death Troopers.
You think that's what it's going to be? Is just like the Kaminoans are just going to just now straight that, up Death
now
Trooper?
Now that your theory of the Death Trooper program came to light, I think they're going to get involved in not genetic cloning, but genetic alteration.
Genetic
now.
Modifications.
And
so
then
I wonder,
we're going to get the Death Troopers.
I wonder where Omega comes into place, because I still don't find a spot in the show for her to fit into other than just like the cute little sidekick.
I think you're right. And I think she is a clone with force powers.
That's
and
what
that
I think.
Will somehow link back to why they want Grogu.
You think so? You think this is going to be the tie-in? Ooh.
Not directly. They're not going to be like, right, oh, this no, is why they want Grogu.
It's
going
to be a nod to episode to the first season.
We're going to be like, oh, yeah. That's how they can. Even the realization, if you think about it, take a step back, even the realization that they can clone a Force user
right.
means so much for Star Wars.
We had this conversation before. That was one of your theories, was like having like a, didn't that happen in EU? Is there something in yes. Legends where yeah. it was like they were cloning Jedi?
Yeah. Yeah, you can, in EU, they were cloning. Well, they were cloning, Emperor had like clones of himself.
Yeah.
And they were all Force sensitive. So, yeah, I mean, the realization that Force users can be cloned, which to me, you know, as long as it's not like making stormtroopers and it's an arduous process that requires like what they were trying to take from Grogu or something, you yeah. know, it's not like this easy, quick thing, like it's complicated. That would be interesting. And what if Omega is made from Sifo Diaz's like midichlorians or whatever?
Oh, crap. That's interesting.
Or from Dooku's, really depending on
Sifo Diaz would make sense.
Or Dooku, because Dooku was the one that saw it through after he killed Sifo Diaz. It's a very interesting thought.
That is a really interesting thought. But I think you're right. I think we're definitely going to see this tie-in into Mando.
And again, it's only going to be the folks that listen to this and that will be able to make the connection of, oh, my God, that's right. why they want Grogu. So I think you're right, though. I think she's Force sensitive. And I think that's the catch-22.
So I thought that. And then in this episode, it made me doubt, just because the way she was behaving with that animal that was eating the power core. She didn't do anything that made me think that she was Force sensitive. Like, she was very much so. She had no connection with the animal. She did nothing with the Force, like a push or a pull.
Maybe that's not her thing, though.
She was afraid. No, it was just like she didn't emit anything that made me think, oh, yeah, you could be a Jedi.
She has no training. What if the only thing she knows, like within her wave
neither
of the Force or whatever,
Grogu,
is premonition?
Grogu really had no training either.
But Grogu was at the temple at some point.
Hmm.
She has had zero training, so maybe premonition is the only
thing
she
innately
knows.
Who was the Jedi Master?
Shakti.
What if Jedi Master Shakti knew?
What if it was Shakti's blood too that they used to make her?
That would make sense because she was Togruta, and she has no signs of showing looking like that at all.
The cloning process, though, it might be some sort of, you're going to hate what I'm about to say, but I'm saying it from a observation standpoint. There might be some, like, either removal or something of entering midichlorians into the cloning process, which is maybe what made Omega female, you know, who knows?
Mm. What? Oh, you're saying they like
she's still a clone,
her, like Force essence, and then just
she's still a clone, but yeah, like maybe because why did they have Grogu hooked up to that machine in season one with the cloning guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
It didn't feel like testing. It felt like they were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
so
just, there's nothing that's happened so far that has made me understand what her purpose is in the show yet. Other than her just being another modified clone.
Yeah, I mean, between this and Mandalorian, it's very interesting to see even going further, the Luke, Leia, this orphaned caretaker situation that keeps forming in all of these shows. Have you noticed that
yes.
theme throughout?
Mm-hmm.
Even Anakin and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
There seems to be, I don't know, Star Wars seems
it's
to
very
be
very Star Wars-esque.
Yeah. And then, you know, now we have Omega, we had Grogu, and it's always this mismatch of, you know, parental unit with child, if you will.
Yeah.
That they don't belong together, but, you know, they grow soft spot for each other, you know, because she was like, not part of the crew. And then by the end of the episode, when Wrecker made her room.
That was so adorable.
It was very cute. And Wrecker was like, oh, I love him. Her room's so cool, though, with the windows out to space, too. It looks so
yeah,
nice.
That's perfect for a little kid.
Yeah, so, but she loved it, and she took Wrecker's stuffed animal too.
Yeah. They're definitely nailing the storytelling in these episodes, even though they're 20 to 30 minutes long. The way that they've been able to tell the story in these short little bursts is so much better than how they were doing it in Clone Wars 10 years ago. Like, you can tell they definitely like refined their craft, and like Filoni has just like figured it out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if like doing The Mandalorian helped him, and it helped shape the way he wanted to continue doing his animated series. But these are just so crisp and clean, and they're able to tell a really good story where it doesn't feel disjointed, or I don't feel like I'm jumping around in any weird order. Everything feels just really good, and I'm okay. And like, and for those like 20 to 30 minutes, I'm locked in so tight. I'm just like, it ends. I'm like, oh, can't wait until next week.
Yeah. And I'm really interested in Crosshair's arc at the moment. It's probably the most interesting part of the show to see where he goes. And even just watching the Empire take over.
Yeah.
This is something we've never seen before. So I'm super intrigued on the Tarkin and, what's his name? Admiral Rampart.
Yeah, I love his last name. It's so good. Apparently, you said he's big in the comics.
He's in the comics. He's not big in the comics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Supposedly. The elite squad of human troopers Rampart presents as replacements for the clones appear to be precursors to the Death Troopers. Blah blah blah. They are also reminiscent of the Imperial Special Forces unit led by Iden Versio.
I saw that. Yeah, too. Inferno. Yeah, so that would be Inferno Squadron.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like it could also be Spec Ops. But the only reason why I don't think this is just a Special Forces group is because the Kaminoans are involved, and also because Crosshair is involved, and we all know what Death Troopers are. And Death Troopers are supposed to be like the step up from what Inferno Squadron was. Like, Inferno Squadron is supposed to be like the Navy SEALs, right?
I'm waiting for them to be like, well, we can't speak Galactic Basic anymore, so we have to create our own language.
I can't wait to hear that with the Yeah, dude, that's so good.
I love it. It's Death a language that only terrifying. Apparently them and Vader are the only ones that can understand that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, like even the Imperial officers they're protecting can't understand it from what I've read. I could be completely wrong, but everything I've read says that Vader and the Death Troopers.
They do speak basic, though.
They do, but they speak in code on purpose because it's a tactical maneuver.
That's so
dope. They
don't
want people knowing what they're doing.
I think that's amazing. Yeah. And then anytime they've ever been on screen, they just get turned into just a pile of mush. I hate it, dude. I was talking to a buddy of mine about it. And he's like, yeah, it's like, it was like, oh, he worked on Battlefront. And he was like, it's the same way, like in the video game, it's like on paper, they sound like really, really cool and they can do all this cool stuff. And then you put them like in the ring with like a hero, like someone with a lightsaber and whatnot. And like, they always have to get beat no matter what. But like, it sucks. It's like, they've never had like their time to shine. Like, they're supposed to be like the most elite force.
Aren't they? No, in Rogue One, they get
pooped. They really don't.
Oh, on the beach with.
They get kind of pooped on the beach.
When what's his name? The guy with the turret gun.
In Mandalorian, they get pooped on.
It starts with an M. Mandalorian, they get shit on by. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Death Troopers have just never really looked cool on screen.
And then on Lothal and Rebels, they get crapped on.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you're right. That sucks.
Doesn't that
but
suck?
We still think they're awesome.
Right? It's the same way with like the Inquisitor troopers in Fallen Order.
Oh my god, they're so cool.
They're really neat, right? But you crap on them. Like, it's just same like because they're supposed to. You're supposed to kill them.
Even the Sith troopers on Exegol, we saw the first picture of them. We were like, oh my god, that's so cool. And then they're like, they're just stormtroopers.
Yeah, they're just red stormtroopers. Like, oh.
Or this Empire, is not dude. What I wanted.
This is the edgy, this is the edgy Sith in me, man. I just want to give the stormtroopers their most intended amount of time on the screen.
Where are my force sensitive stormtroopers? Well, then they're not really stormtroopers. Damn it. The only other Easter egg type bit here was on the desolate moon because it doesn't really have a name. But that whole scene was 150% reminiscent of The Empire Strikes Back, when the Falcon hides on the asteroid inside of the gigantic space creature.
Yeah, and the monsters.
The Minox.
Oh, the Minox that are feeding off of him, that feed off electricity.
The breathers, everything. It was 100% an homage to that.
Very much so.
Interesting thing that I didn't pick up on, because I don't think they said what it was the creature was known as an Ordo Moon Dragon.
Yeah, Tech says that.
Okay, so then Ordo is the name of the Mandalorian mercenary that you travel with in Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, that's so that cool.
That was the only other Easter egg that I picked out. Everything else was pretty, we discussed it. I'm interested to see what they do with Admiral Rampart. He's a new character. Like I said, he's in a few comics, but I'm fleshing him out and seeing it, because he seems to be instrumental in taking this leap forward for the Empire.
Well, it's Tarkin's idea, but he needed someone to do it for him because he's busy getting ready to start the Death Star project.
Is he? He's not a Grand Moff yet. Not even close.
He's
right?
Not a Moff. No, he's a Grand Admiral. He's an Admiral. He's not a Moff yet.
Formerly an Admiral in the Republic Navy, Tarkin is now an Imperial Governor.
Okay, he's an Imperial Governor. Yeah, so he's not Moff yet.
So then because once you're past Governor, then you get to Moff. Because then I think Governor is planet and Moff is system.
So the Governors run the individual planets. The Moffs run the systems of the planets. Yeah.
And then Grand Moff runs a sector.
They run like the major sectors, and they report directly to the Emperor.
Yes. Okay.
The Grand Admirals, they report directly to the Emperor. They don't report to anyone else. And there's like
Thrawn.
It's like Thrawn. Sloan. There's a council of them. So there's 20 of them.
Sloan is another one.
Sloan is there's
Gallius Rex.
Gallius Rex is there.
I'm enjoying as I go through this book.
You're on book three of Aftermath, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I started it, so now I know that the Emperor handpicked him for some reason.
Who? Oh, Thrawn?
Gallius.
Oh, he ended Gallius? Oh.
Yeah.
It makes you think. It makes you wonder on a couple things.
I have a million questions, but yeah. I got to finish the book first.
Yeah. I'm currently doing Thrawn Ascendancy, right? The second book, yes. It's very
good. So that's five.
Good.
That makes five Thrawn books I'll have to read after this, right?
Correct. And it's so good.
And are they all written by Timothy Zahn?
They are all Timothy Zahn.
Good. Did I tell you? Yeah, I told you last week that there's a Thrawn plushie doll at Galaxy's Edge.
No, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell you that.
No.
Okay, so there's a marketplace, and I'm sure now that the CDC has eased the restrictions that in the marketplace, you have to wait online. So we waited like 20 minutes to go shopping. How Disney is that? But there's all these cool little Easter eggs and stuff, too, while you're waiting. So that was fun to look at. But once you get into the shops, we're walking around. Hunter made me buy him a freaking dewback that I don't think he's touched since we got home. But in one of the shops, I noticed there was this little plushie, and I got closer, and it was Thrawn plushie.
Oh, my God. That's so
like
good.
This little one. And I turned to Rob, my buddy Rob, that used to be on the Worst Radio Show with me. And I go, Rob, go back 10 years from now, and I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you that we're going to be at Disney in Star Wars land, and I'm going to hand you a Grand Admiral Thrawn plushie doll. He's like, isn't capitalism great?
I can't wait to go, dude.
I think you should go in July.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's time for you to
I need to go.
Experience.
I want to build my lightsaber. Let's do it.
It's time.
We'll vlog it.
We already decided which one you're building.
Yeah, it's no peace and love, dude.
No power and control,
Jedi.
Bud. Gee, I wonder what color crystal Tim will pick, Chuck.
What if I just like throw it and just like grab blue? What would you do?
I wouldn't believe it for a second.
Really? You wouldn't know? Or green?
If you bought blue, I could see you marching over to the Dock Ondars to try and get one of the red crystals that would pop a darksaber for you.
and see if that works. I still want to go there because I want to get Ray's color crystal.
The yellow one?
Yeah, I want to put that in mine.
Especially your lightsaber looks very much so like a guard lightsaber.
And then I'll get the helmet, and then guess what I'm going to be for Halloween when you're Mando?
Oh my God, that's going to look so cool.
I'll be a temple guardian.
I should be. Oh, I'm going to get my armor in July. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Are you getting Kyler a little Grogu costume?
Yeah, dude, he's totally going to be Grogu.
Do-do.
Love it.
Do-do.
Do-do.
Do-do. Do-do.
It's so cute. Oh, man. Well, I mean, that's it for this episode. Again, there was a lot in it from a very straightforward standpoint. Like,
yeah.
Crosshair, I don't think he's going to die. Like, especially after this episode, Tim, I think he has a redemption arc.
Probably.
Omega keeps saying over and over again, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
And the other three, four are very confused by that. They don't understand it. And she's like, well, that's what the chip is intended to do, is to override, you know, his critical thinking. So, do you think he's going to go like nuts because of it?
I don't know. They're pushing his limits. You know, they've got the chip turned up all the way. I'm worried what that's going to do to his brain. They said he's responding well to it, but I mean, for how long? I think it could malfunction at some point.
I found something interesting that I didn't notice in this too.
Okay.
Imperial troopers in this episode fire red blaster bolts instead of blue, a distinction long used to tell the enemy's armies apart.
So it's usually... Oh, interesting. I didn't even realize that. But in like one of the first episodes, they were all shooting the same blaster bolt colors. That's cool. They've actually started to make like that change. That's cool. Yeah,
before they switched over.
Yeah, that's neat.
Interesting. And then I wonder when the ships start shooting green. Interesting.
What causes that? What's the actual... I'm sure... I'm gonna ask... Okay, chat. Somebody, whoever, listeners, tweet at me if you know why the lasers change colors.
Hold on. The gas quality or how it is modified will dictate why a blaster bolt will have a distinct red, blue, or even green color. During the Clone Wars, the main colors that were fired from blasters were red and blue. Red blaster bolts are considered to be the most common and cheapest gases to use.
Oh, I see. So the Empire uses a more expensive gas.
While it is cheap, it doesn't diminish its effectiveness, and it can do considerable damage to opponents. While cheap, some of the greatest moments in Star Wars feature red blaster bolts.
Oh, man.
Blue blaster bolts are one of more unique colors in Star Wars lore, used primarily in the Clone Wars. Blue bolts are gases that have been ionized and work especially against machinery. This is why the clones primarily use them. That being said, they were still just as deadly against organic beings as shown in Order 66. The Resistance also used blue bolts during the sequel trilogy, as shown primarily in The Force Awakens when Kylo stopped one with the Force, probably because that's what they had access to as far as stockpiles went and whatnot. That makes complete sense.
Interesting. That's cool.
Blue and red weren't the only colors used with blasters. There were little-known variants that fans have to dig deeper to learn about, first of which are green blaster bolts, which are the most expensive gases available. These bolts have been used mainly by Naboo security forces, as the bolt is much more powerful than the standard red. Mandalorians, however, use the yellow blaster bolt. There is no official confirmation on what makes this color different from the others as of yet. According to 2018's The Star Wars Book, it is possible that yellow may just be a variant of blue and red.
Oh, cool.
Purple is an offshoot variant that could have originated from Geonosis, as the only other color users have been specialized droids such as Magna Guards. Cyan and orange bolts serve a unique purpose as training colors. These bolts are low in power and can be fired at a person without causing serious damage. The best example of a cyan is in New Hope when Luke practiced with the training orb. Training colors were also used with the clones as they trained to combat against droids. Blaster bolts serve as yet another little addition, so blah, 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 blah. So, there's your answer.
Interesting. Well, so much for having chat reach out to me on Twitter.
I'm sure somebody will chime in and be like, hey, actually, you forgot to mention, and then they'll say the thing.
Perfect.
That we
should
know.
Well, the actually guy, whoever you are out there in the internet world, looking forward to your tweet.
Everybody's impressed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, before you go, you should head over to highscoretees.com and check out High Score Tees. We have a Rare Drop store on there.
We do. But we also
have a GCX store on there.
That.
And we got to put the Star Wars and Scotch merch up there in the fall when all that goes up. So, yeah. And it's not just going to be the logo. Corey wants to do cool Star Wars and Scotch stuff. Like, he wants it to be original. He doesn't just want to throw a logo on a black t-shirt. He wants it to be legit, so you can wear it when you meet us.
Whenever we get back to like doing this like in person and like actually in a studio and like gonna like however we're gonna do this recorded.
Yep.
We need to get back to actually like having like a scotch, like a good scotch.
Can we do that on the diet?
Yeah, we can.
I'm a different human from when we sat down and did episode one, Tim.
Yeah, I know, Kevin. Your body's a temple and whatnot, but like you can have a scotch, like one.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, we get it, Kevin. Your body is
your sacrilegious freaking cannoli dip.
No, that's all diet friendly. You're good.
Yeah, but it's not Italian friendly, Tim.
Oh, shut up, Kevin. Anyways, we'll figure it out.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me and Tim for episode 43 of Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you. We'll be back for episode 4 of The Bad Batch next week. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet at us. But if you're a patron, make sure you drop your question on the thread that will go up Friday when the episode drops. And if your question is not about the episode, don't worry about it. Tim and I will answer it if you're a patron. The others, you have to roll the dice. We'll see. We'll see. But the patrons, they get special treatment. Thank you so much for hanging out with us again. Remember, King's Coast Coffee, High Score Tees, raredrop.co. And make sure you go check out Tim every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern at fb.gg/darkness429.
Yeah,
and darkness429 everywhere else on the internet.
Nice. Thanks. And that's Kevin. You can find him over at raredrop.co.
That's it. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
Done. I don't stream. So
that's where he lives. He actually lives in the website.
Yeah, I'm at the office right now. I haven't left since January.
Yeah, he's gotta fly out to King's Coast soon to bag some coffee. So
I thought that was you.
All right. Well, you gotta go. Yeah, the force be with you.
Tim's on the red eye back to New York, because that makes sense logistically. Everyone have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.